Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, Reese, Bibbs, put the game on, man. I'm trying to see what Luca and them boys gonna do tonight, man. Mavs Outside This Podcast. Y'all know what time it is.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back yet again to another edition of the Mavs Outsiders Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mike Biddens, joined as always by my co-host, Maurice Williams. You can find me on Twitter at Bibbs Corner. You can find him on Twitter at MOVR25. That's MOVR25. Reese, it's playoff time. We're both suited up, booted up, ready to get on the court, do our thing. But fortunately, the team is deep enough that we don't have to actually do anything on the court this year. First time. So how you feeling right now?
Pending. We'll see. If the team is deep enough.
Fair enough.
We have the talent to put out there. They just got to perform. That's all. But I'm excited, man. I can't wait. I believe the first game is Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central, 8:30, I think, in Slovenia, somewhere in there, 7:30, 8:30 in Europe. So it's a nice game for the Euros. It's a nice game for the Euros, which I believe is intentional, if I'm not tripping.
May not be.
It's a Western Conference game. It's in Los Angeles. Like, that's an early game.
Yeah.
It's 12:30. In Los Angeles. So
I think that's normal for the playoffs, though, since it's probably going to be about four games that
day. It is a 4 or 5 game, so they do get the 4 or 5, the worst schedule usually. Yeah. But I think all our games are TV, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, with this
real TV, not NBA TV.
With this matchup, it should be.
Real TV. So it shouldn't be a problem for people trying to watch the games. Hopefully, but I know historically the NBA is weird. So with that said, I will be locked in at 3:30 on Sunday. I know you will. And I don't know, the week off, good or bad?
Good. Absolutely good. Especially with, you know, some of the guys being banged up. You always want to make sure that Luka is at 100%. You want to make sure that Kyrie is at 100%. With both of them having health issues in their career. Josh Green came back to, not sure if he'll play in the playoffs or not, but Josh Green came back towards the end of the season. This gives him time to fully heal up. You got everybody healing up. Shout out to Derek Lively, who lost his mom. Rest in peace to Kathy. If he doesn't play, that's completely fine. Like, I don't, you know, that's something completely different.
Talked about Derek Lively, and definitely RIP. Derek Lively's mom had no idea that she was that sick, because I know she'd been at games and stuff like that this year.
I remember we talked about, like, beginning of the season. I think he talked about his mom. I thought she had beaten cancer. So, yeah, this was a shock.
Like, all the conversation I had heard was that she had beat it and she was good as far as I was as far as I had, maybe I wasn't listening correctly, or maybe they didn't tell people. Like, it's not
necessarily
something you got to talk about out loud. But the fact that he's back at practice already and apparently a full participant means to me that he did know that it was coming to this. They got the prognosis and he watched as things progressed. And like I said, he was right there the next day or same day, wasn't it, that it was announced. I'm not sure.
I didn't even see it the day it was announced.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I didn't see it the day. Because they did like a tribute at the game. And he was there. But yeah, it's tough. I think when you are prepared for something like that, though, it's easier to bounce than to bounce back. When I say bounce back, I don't mean I'm not, I doubt he's not still feeling it like heavily, but when he had time to prepare for it, he had time to make his plans and determine how he was gonna move as far as the playoffs and things like that are concerned. And it seems like he wants to keep going. I'm sure they had conversations about this. Her being an athlete, I'm sure she told him like, I want for you to keep playing. Like, I don't want you to stop type of thing. And again, I could be completely off base there, but the fact that he's there means that bare minimum, he wants to be there. And I know the team would not force him to be there if he didn't want to be there. So with that said, full arsenal at our disposal. News from Shams today, Kawhi got the horse tranquilizer dart in his knee, and the deer antler juice has been rubbed on there or whatever.
Have you ever played? It wasn't like an official, it wasn't an NFL game because it wasn't NFL teams in it, but what the fuck was Lawrence Taylor was in the game.
NFL Street.
No, it was called Blitz the League.
Okay. Yep. I remember.
And you remember when a motherfucker would get hurt in the game, they would just literally on the game shoot them up with some shit and they get right back in. That's what they did to Kawhi for sure.
Do you think he's actually going to be good, or is he going to be a little hindered, if you will?
I think he'll be fine. I
Trying to
think
remember, do you remember a time that he played injured? Like, if he had any type of injury going on, that he would play through it?
I know the last time we played him in the very next series, he got hurt. Like he was out. And he only played like two games in that series. I feel like that injury was already lingering.
I feel like he definitely
I
tweaked
can't
it or,
confirm that though.
yeah, he tweaked it or something during our series.
Yeah, I feel like that was already like lingering. So technically, he was playing hurt, quote unquote, against us in 2021. And he was fucking killing. Now, granted, that was years ago. He's older now. The body is different. And we don't know the severity of this injury or if he's even still injured. But if I'm a Clippers fan, am I worried about Kawhi? Yeah.
I was about to
There's a
say.
possibility he can't finish the series. And that would suck because, you know, like as a basketball fan, I want to see these guys go head to head. Like I want both teams healthy. But it's the reality. And it seems like a constant thing with Kawhi, which sucks because he's been healthy most of the season for the most part. Like he's over the 65 game threshold. So to do all of that and still get to the playoffs and possibly have it's just bad timing. But you know, he may be fine. We'll see.
I think that, like you said, if I'm a Clippers fan, I am worried about it. I think that as a basketball fan, and even as a Mavs fan, I want them at full strength. I don't want no excuses. I don't want no asterisks. If they out, they out. But if I can get them at full strength, give them to me at full strength. Like I want it to feel earned. To be honest, like I don't want anything. I don't want anybody talking about y'all only did it because Kawhi was out, but none of that. I think we can beat this team at full strength.
I agree.
I want to see both teams at full strength. I want to see us go toe to toe, and see who got the better team at the end of the day. I think that this Mavs team post trade deadline is a very, very different team than the team that we were before the trade deadline. And anybody that thinks differently is has not been paying attention.
I agree.
Think Mavs fans get that. But I'm seeing a lot of Clippers fans talk really crazy. Like they
I
don't
haven't
even
seen it
understand
as
who's on the team.
much. I haven't seen it as much, and I'm glad because it will probably trigger me, but I'm gonna let the play on the court do the talking.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into the conversation for the most part. But like this, the stuff I'm seeing is like neither these teams are not the same.
But let me say this.
Okay.
I know as Mavs fans with this run, we've been very confident.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot overlook this Clippers team.
Oh, not at all.
I know some people are. Cannot overlook this team.
Okay. To overlook this team would be
irresponsible.
Completely. And I think that's where having a Luka and a Kyrie helps, because we've never seen Luka slack in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Kyrie, people tell you, you know, his last couple playoff appearances, but his Kyrie in Dallas is on a mission. As far as I can see, and it's based on how he's talking, he's on a mission to prove something. To Dallas.
You had lag for a minute. I was like, what the?
Yeah, you were frozen.
So yeah, you were frozen for a minute. Okay.
I don't know why that's happening. We haven't had this type of issue in a long time because I've been using a wire connection.
I'm on a wire connection. It's been very. It's anyway.
I just put play oofs. Wow, that's really crazy. But yeah, I think these teams are different than they were the last time they saw each other. I'm not even gonna go to bat to 2020. Let's just stick with 2021.
Yeah.
And do we even care to talk about these last two games of the season? Went straight to basketball. This is absurd.
Yeah, I'm about to say I don't even know how we actually you went straight to basketball. You started talking about the Mavs. I'm like, damn, we ain't need to catch up. We ain't talking about movies.
Hey, maybe we can do that at the end. We'll see.
We'll
It'll
see.
Be a nice buffer between this and the NBA talk, I guess.
Yeah, that'll be it might, who knows? We might have to change the formula up. That might work better.
It might. And maybe we don't scare off all the new Mavs fans that are coming. what was I gonna say? The idea of, gosh, I can't get this to do what I wanted to do. There's a tampon ad just sitting here.
That is nuts.
Basketball references, wild. All right. I'm pulling up the Clippers roster today versus what it was back then in that playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
But before I do that, those last two games of the season, did you even watch them?
No.
Okay. I was going to ask if there was anything you saw worth caring about, but we can worry about that later.
I think at one point I wasn't even home to watch it. I think at both points I wasn't home to watch it, actually.
Yeah, I watched some of. I watched one of them completely, and I did not watch. I watched like the last quarter of that one.
One game was on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I believe yes. The last game was on Sunday. Like,
was this what a game Sunday and Friday?
Yes,
I was not home to watch them. Friday was my birthday. I was out with my girlfriend. Sunday was my best friend's baby shower, and we hung out the whole day.
Gotcha. So I believe Basketball Reference is why my computer is lagging, by the way.
Wow. Basketball Reference is the bug. That's crazy.
Basketball Reference is slowing shit down. I can't get the page to move. This is bullshit. Anyway, do you think, let's start at the top. The two main pillars that are back, Kawhi, Paul George, do they still have it to put a team on their back like they have in the past?
I think Kawhi does, not Paul George. I don't think Paul George has had that since Indiana.
Damn. Okay. Do you think Paul George is at least as good as he was in 2021 or can get to that level in the playoffs?
I mean, the nigga wasn't that great in 2020. He was still beating the playoff P allegations. So off the strength, I'd say, yeah, he's a little better. He's better.
He is better. All right. That's
but he has fallen off a bit this season, and he's been a bit streaky.
Okay.
So if that extends to the
Assume.
playoffs, huh?
I assume you can still hear me.
Yeah.
My screen is like black.
Man, that's crazy.
Basketball Reference has given my computer the clap. This is really wild. Like, I can't see. I wish I could show you what my screen looked like right now. Matter of fact, I could send you a picture.
That's kind of crazy. Basketball Reference doing that?
Yes, it gotta be Basketball Reference. Everything was fine till I pulled it up.
Everything fine till Basketball Reference attacked.
Right. But anyway, if you can hear me, I'm gonna assume it's okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can see you. I can hear you. Everything's like it's not even laggy.
Definitely.
So it got to be something else other than connection.
Yeah, connection seems to be fine. But yeah, so you think, what about do you think they've lost a step at all?
Those two players,
Yes.
I would maybe Kawhi has on defense,
Okay.
but he's still, I don't want to say that. He's still a top tier defender.
Okay, I got the video fine. I don't, the internet's just gone. He is still a really good defender.
Man,
It's gonna
that's
be
crazy.
curious to see. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Like,
Also, I'm glad you sent me this picture because I wanted to ask, what camera do you have? And I would, yeah.
I'm not using that camera.
Why not?
The one, because it, remember it kept like cutting off.
Oh, okay. So using the camera on your computer.
Yeah,
That's a
built it.
damn good camera.
Things really?
Yeah, look at yours and look at mine.
Yeah, you do like you in a Middle Eastern country. Yeah. You don't
That's
even know
offensive, brother. That's gotta be
the
offensive to
movie.
somebody.
You know how they be doing in the movies. It's always the desert shot and somebody
That
yelling.
sound like Dune. What the?
Same shit.
Oh my God. Okay.
We gonna pretend the Fremen went in Arabic. That's what we've been doing. We pretended the Fremen went for the Middle East.
I never got that feeling, honestly,
Come
but
on, son.
I
They,
didn't.
it was so blatant.
I didn't, but it is what it
Anyway, racism aside, oh snap.
to get us canceled before the playoffs this year.
Hold on, my screen. You know how they put that haze over the film when you in
Yeah.
the
Like I'm recording a terrorist video or some shit.
and basically, like you about to make all kinds of demands and shit. But if you want the, let me. Whoa.
Heard you about to do the accent. Please don't continue to talk basketball, please, before you make this worse. Please. Oh my God.
Oh snap. Right. So what I was trying to do before Basketball Reference decided to wild out on me and then I became problematic was compare the Clippers roster right now to the roster in 2021.
Can we do this?
Not the way I wanted to do it.
Okay, all right.
And so basically last time I just mentioned who they have versus what they have now.
Yeah.
When I actually look at the actual contributions, me see here. All right, yeah, it was the page that was unresponsive on why is this doing? I'm about to give up. All right, I'm gonna just close. What? Wait, is it working? All right, let's just do this. Are the Clippers better today than they were in 2021 in your mind?
Yes.
Break it down for me.
First of all, they've added more. When you have a talent on you, first of all, I know some people probably think it's just a name, but adding a Russell Westbrook and a James Harden, first of all, adding a James Harden, who is one of the greatest, if not the greatest pick and roll player, pick and roll point guard, excuse me, we've ever seen. Having a guy like that on your team as your third best player, as opposed to in 2021. when their third best player was who? Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, Nicholas. Well, Nicholas Batum wasn't the third best player, but he was important as fuck in that series. Having a James Harden who, hey, maybe Paul George is having an off night. Granted, James Harden does have a history of not stepping up in the playoffs, but having that talent on your team, automatically, you have another guy who can step up. Same with Russell Westbrook. We saw what Russell Westbrook did in the playoffs in the first round last year against who were they playing? The Phoenix Suns. The defense he played on Devin Booker. Granted, they didn't have I think Paul George or Kawhi in that series, and he stepped up. They didn't win, but his play was fantastic. Having a guy like that, along with James Harden, along with Norman Powell, who you didn't have before, who's a Sixth Man of the Year candidate, perennial Sixth Man of the Year candidate. I think they lack in size, which you brought up when they made the James Harden trade, but they still have formidable centers. But you can't play them all on the floor at once. I think that may be their biggest weakness. But you still have Terrence Mann, who's improved. I think they're a better team. I said it before. I think it was on this podcast or the NBA podcast that outside of Denver, at one point I felt they were the most dangerous team in the West.
On
I
the
say we're more dangerous right now because of the streak we've been on.
floor. Okay.
But it for me, it would go Nuggets, Dallas, Clippers. Not like best, but most dangerous.
Okay.
Like I said, I think Paul George is playing better now and maybe fitting better now with Kawhi Leonard, as opposed to back then when it was just their second season. Even though that nigga sucks right now.
I mean,
I don't want to say sucks. That's an exaggeration, but you understand what I'm saying. But just off the pieces they've added alone in the past few years, I believe they're better.
okay. I pulled it up just to get a glimpse of what they got from guys. And obviously, it's different regular season to playoffs.
Are you talking about in 2021?
2021. So in the playoffs, Kawhi averaged 32 points a game, 32, 8, and 5, two steals and a block. Paul George averaged 23, 9, and 6. Kawhi shot 42% from three. Talked about PG being playoff P. He shot 30% from three.
What about from the field overall?
From the field overall, he shot 46%.
Okay. It's not terrible.
Not bad. He was doing work inside. It was the three pointers that were not falling for him, but inside he was doing his thing.
Also got to account for the games where after Kawhi went out, he was probably taking most of the shots.
This was just in against the Mavs.
Oh, okay. All right.
I pulled up that series specifically.
Okay.
But then we had Reggie splashing, and this is where it comes for me. The playoffs is about the others most of the time. Like once you have established stars, it's about the others. When you have new stars like an Anthony Edwards, for example, you got to see if they got it, right? You got to see if they can rise to the occasion in the playoffs. Guys like Luka, Kyrie, Kawhi, Paul George, you're not looking for that. We know what they're going to do. So then it comes down to the others. And in 2021, the others were Reggie Jackson, who averaged 15 points a game, 15, 3, and 3. He shot 43% from the field, but 39% from three. He had some very timely threes, as I recall. Marcus Morris, 11 points, 4 boards a game, shot 44% from three. Also, some timely shots from him. Nick Batum, we know he had some timely shots. He didn't shoot a great percentage, just 29%. 29.6% from from three, 48% from the
Quarter
field.
asking why the fuck Nick Batum.
Fourth quarter, asking why the fuck with 2 minutes. But he was getting it done when it counted. 9.6 boards, two assists, and a steal from him. But as we can see, it's dropping off very quickly. After Batum, nobody else is coming close to 10 points. Serge Ibaka averaged 5 a game. Rajon Rondo's like 4-2-4. Terrence Mann, you talked about him. He did play 14 minutes a game, but just 4 points a game. Luke Kennard, 10 minutes a game, just 4 points a game. Zubac was only playing 14 minutes, 3 points, 5 boards. And Patrick Beverley, 10 minutes a game, just 3 points a game. Pretty much, we talk about people getting played off the floor. Patrick Beverley got played off the floor in that series.
Yeah, he got played off the floor for sure. So, trying to put him on Luka was nuts.
It didn't work out. I believe that's all the players. Patrick Beverley didn't even play every game. Neither did Kennard and Ibaka. So as far as players that played every game, it was Kawhi, PG, Marcus Morris, Batum, Reggie Jackson, Rondo, Terrence Mann, and Zubac. That's your eight man. We always talk about the eight man. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, that's your eight man right there. Those eight. And again, we mentioned the contributions. It was a quick, swift drop off from PG and Kawhi as far as the production, but those other guys were able to hit timely shots. You move to this year, the team composition is very different, but the breakdown is actually not super different. So if we look at it as far as, and I'm going to do this by minutes. All right, here we go. Key contributors, we got Kawhi, obviously, and this is regular season. He averaged 23 points a game this year. so did Paul George, 22.6. Both shot over 40% from three this season. James Harden only averaged 16 points a game. 16 points, 8 assists, 5 boards. But he's James Harden. The shot distribution between the three, 17 shots a game for Kawhi, 16 for Paul George, 11 for Harden. Which has been interesting to see. Harden's taking more of a point guard type role. But if we are able to slow down the other two, when does James Harden start taking his shots?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Slowing down Kawhi in the playoffs is very hard, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's going to be curious to see how that plays itself out. But if we look at it, Reggie Jackson averaged 15 points a game during that series. He was pretty much in the James Harden role. So we went from Reggie Jackson to James Harden there. Next is Norman Powell. He's averaging 14 points a game. Just 2 boards, not doing too much else besides the scoring for them, but 43% from three. Can't leave him open. He's pretty much the Marcus Morris replacement. So James Harden and Norman Powell replacing Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris as the two next highest scoring guys. They would have been the last guys that averaged over 10 points a game back in 2021. But there are two guys who are averaging more than that in the regular season for the Clippers this year. It's Zubac and Westbrook, both averaging 11 points a game. Zubac also averaging 9 boards a game. Westbrook, 5 boards, 5 assists. He is essentially the Rajon Rondo replacement. That's an upgrade. Zubac is the Zubac replacement.
I forgot Rondo was on that damn team for a minute.
Yeah. And then Terrence Mann is better than he was back then.
Absolutely.
So he probably is going to play more minutes than he did back then. Just shooting 35% from three, which is below league average. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 7 guys. Not sure who the 8th guy is going to be for this Clippers team. Could be Amir Coffey, could be Tyce Plumlee. They could cycle between some guys, honestly. But like you said, the talent overall is increased. The name recognition, the guys that have been in big games, James Harden and Westbrook have been to the finals. That's a little bit different than what they had before.
First of all,
go ahead.
When them dudes was in the finals, I wasn't even old enough to drink alcohol.
I was. So
We know.
But they've been in, even if they haven't been to the finals, they've been in the playoffs. They've been leaders of teams. They've had the pressure on their backs. They don't have that pressure in these games.
Absolutely.
They have to be the guys to step up in moments. That's dangerous for us. Do we fear? So do you have any thoughts? Is Zubac a thought for you in this series?
Absolutely not. I'm attacking him in the pick and roll at damn near every time until they figure out a way to stop it.
Do you think, because previously we did not have a offense that was really, really centered on utilizing our centers, do we think Gafford is going to be able to just be more athletic than Zubac, or does Zubac have more value on our against us this year because Daniel Gafford is a big part of what we do?
It could be a bit of both. But I lean more towards, I think Gafford is going to, quote unquote, eat more, basically being more athletic than Zubac. And depending on how they decide to defend the pick and roll with Luka and Kyrie, mainly Luka, if they decide to put Zubac in like a drop defense against Luka, especially Kyrie in that mid-range area, I don't want to say he'll be unplayable, but it could get ugly for him.
So it's going to be interesting. We both talked about using our bigs being a thing we have to continue to do in the playoffs, and the ways teams might try to go small to get around that. The Clippers have experience with this, with Gobert. And it worked out for them in that series. I'm not going to sit here and rehash why it worked out from my perspective, but if they go small, I think we kill them.
I think we absolutely kill them. And another aspect of that pick and roll, I forgot. Kawhi is likely going to be on Luka. And you want to expend Kawhi, especially with a possible knee injury. You want to expend Kawhi, if you're the Mavs, on a defensive end as much as possible. And if they decide, damn, we can't play drop defense with Zubac, he's killing us, this isn't going to work, Kawhi is going to have to fight really hard through those screens. Unless they just decide they can't switch. Kawhi is going to have to fight really hard through those screens. And that's just going to expend him more. And hopefully we can pray that he isn't an actual android and he won't have the energy on offense sometimes, maybe down the stretch towards the end of the games.
It's going to be interesting to see if they do try to go small on us.
Yeah.
This is where Jason Kidd has to show me, because I'm not gonna let play to their hand. I'm not gonna try to play that way with them.
I think the game plan should be to force them to go small. Force them to go small and we stay big.
I would say the goal for me is for them to struggle to figure out what to do. Period.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't mean like force them to go small and we match it. Like show them your bigs out there.
Can't
with
keep
up. Evans, they can't keep up. You have to go small. And we stay big to where we have the bigger advantage.
Yeah. Like, and that's where I think as long as we do that, we should have no problem in this series. Offensively. They should not have an answer for us offensively. Defensively is where the questions come into play for me. How are they going to attack us on that end of the ball? If they stick with their regular lineup, I think it's pretty obvious what we're going to end up trying to do. If they do go small, I'm not sure how we react to that. Jason Kidd is still the coach, and I still have my doubts. I know a lot of people say, you know, he's proven, blah, 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 blah. He hasn't proven shit to me.
He's not proven.
So
people are starting to flip the script on Jason Kidd already on the timeline. I see it. I'm not convinced yet.
Yeah, it's not happening for me. You got to show me. I ain't from Missouri, but you got to show me. I have to see it. I don't trust him. I simply don't trust him. No. We have the personnel to force our will against teams, and I'd like to see it. I got to see it play out. No reason for us to, if they hit a couple threes in a row over Daniel Gafford, I don't give a damn. We still running that pick and roll, spamming it. We might lose a game that way. I don't care. I still think we're the better team overall, and playing our game is going to win us more games than it's going to lose us games. That's my opinion. That's my perspective. Who do you want PJ Washington guarding?
Kawhi.
Who do you want guarding Paul George?
Derrick Jones Jr.
Who do you want guarding James Harden?
I would live with Luka on him. Or Kyrie.
That's the X factor. I don't want Luka on Westbrook. That's not what I want to see.
No, I don't want Luka on Westbrook. But I'd have to live with... Actually, Luka on Westbrook may not be that bad.
If he sags off.
Exactly.
He has to actually pay attention.
He has to pay attention. But if he's sagging off and like sagging off on and off ball on Westbrook, that could be like hiding him almost.
Yeah, like I'm cool with him on Westbrook if he's actually locked in. I foresee a situation where he is not locked in.
Yeah.
And Westbrook's getting offensive rebounds and stuff like that, and it's a problem.
If as he's far locked in,
bro, go ahead.
No, you go ahead and finish.
I was gonna say if he's locked in, he's boxing out, that could work. If they go small, Luka gotta guard somebody.
Yeah, Luka gotta guard somebody.
What's the small lineup? Let's put an actual lineup in play here. Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, Norm Powell. Will be Norm Powell Westbrook, or should we go man instead of?
I feel like they do man.
Let's go and man. Powell. Let's go man instead of Westbrook, actually.
Yeah, I think they do man and Powell.
So man, Powell, Harden, Paul George, Kawhi. Who's Luka guarding?
Man.
I think that has to be. You got to put him on a worst shooter.
Yeah.
It's just like Gobert. You got to put him on a worst shooter and force him to shoot. But then that puts Gafford. Who's that put Gafford on?
That's tough.
Do we go zone?
I don't think we should do that.
I'm going to be honest. I have not watched a lot of James Harden this year. I don't know how slow he is.
Here's the thing. I have to live with Luka on Harden until Harden starts doing something.
I can agree with that. And you put Gafford on man and let him be Gobert.
Yeah, because I can't put Gafford on Kawhi.
I got to put Gafford on man. And
that's tough, man. I know Maxi Kleber might finish that game if that's their lineup.
I'm okay with switching a little bit, but we can't completely give in to that will if that's the case. Like, I'm okay with going PJ Maxey for stretches, but I still want to see us go big against that lineup for stretches as well.
Yeah, that could get a little scary, but you have to play some form. I wouldn't want to play some form of zone, but I don't even think it's necessary, to be quite honest.
If we trust each other, that'll be all right. The problem with the Jazz in that series was that they didn't trust each other.
But I'm living with Luka on Harden until I see Harden actually being James Harden. That will leave Kyrie on Norman Powell.
I'm okay with that.
Actually, I mean, it could be Derrick Jones Jr. or Dante Exum in the closing lineup, depending on who's playing.
True.
Well, I like Exum or Derrick Jones Jr. or Paul George. Either one works. I'll live with PJ on Kawhi. And that will leave Daniel Gafford to be on Terrence Mann. But that could backfire. Terrence Mann isn't a bum. Terrence Mann isn't an awful shooter. Like,
he's going to hit shots.
He's going to hit shots. And I still have vivid memories of Terrence Mann dunking on Rudy Gobert twice. I remember that shit. So I don't know, but that's the assignments I would live with.
I'm closing basketball references. Shit is tripping.
We don't need it.
All right. Hopefully this
is better. On your phone or something.
Hopefully this is better. I was trying to have multiple windows up at once, but it's wild. So we're gonna close all that. Should we? I guess we'll do our predictions. What's your expectations for the series at this point?
Like an actual prediction?
Yeah.
Mavs in six.
My heart wants to say Mavs in five.
I can't do that.
But I haven't seen. I got to see it first. I got to see game one. So I'm going to say six.
I can't go. I feel like it would be disrespectful to the Clippers to say Mavs in five. I can't.
Say six.
I honestly don't even believe five. So, yeah, I got to.
My heart says five, but I'm going to say six. I think
also believe even though they have home court advantage, unless you're the Lakers, it's not that hard to play in L.A. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
If we come out and steal game one.
Yeah.
Now, I know what happened last series. We won the first two. They won the next two. No one won a home game until game seven. But if we come out and steal game one, just saying.
Okay. Yeah.
We need to steal one of those first two games.
I expect to win game one.
Okay.
I need it. I don't need it. We don't need it as a team. I need it personally. Yeah. That's really all I got as far as the preview goes. I'm excited. We talked about it in the last episode. The others on the Mavs have more playoff experience than we realized. I'm excited for PJ Washington as a defender to be a thing that people take note of.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think somebody posted a video. PJ Washington was getting some shots up in the gym last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knows the assignment. He has to be ready to take those shots, whether they're falling or not. Problem with Maxey back in the previous series, he was not taking the shots. They were there. He was passing them up. That's a liability. You got to be able to pull that trigger.
I hate that. Shoot that motherfucker.
Let it fly. A lot of debate about Tim Hardaway Jr. and whether or not he's in the eight-man rotation. Do we think he's in the eight-man rotation?
There's an eight-man rotation.
Is he one of the first eight off the bench or on the court?
I think there's a nine-man rotation. I don't think there's an eight-man rotation.
So Tim and Josh are in the nine-man.
No.
Who's the nine-man?
Lively, Exum, Maxey, and Tim.
No Josh.
No Josh. Here's the thing. You put Josh out there. Defense ain't going to respect this shot.
Right.
You put Tim out there. Tim could be shooting 0-for-3 from three. Teams still have to defend him on a 3-point.
Right.
That means something.
I think Josh is obviously the 10th man, I think. I think he only gets on the court foul trouble situations. Or if Derrick Jones Jr. has been complete ass cheeks, that's the only way he gets on the court probably.
I also think it's rare playoff teams just play eight players.
And for me, it's more about the players that play 10 plus minutes, which is what I try to look at. It's going to be interesting to see how Jason Kidd does his rotations.
Yeah.
Not only because, you know how we both feel about the Gafford Lively situation, but also because the Clippers likely will go small a lot. I'm curious how Jason Kidd tries to navigate that. But yeah, the fact that if Josh Green doesn't play, I will not cry.
Yeah.
You will not be missed. My only question is how short of a leash Tim Hardaway Jr. has.
I don't think he gets that short. He's never gotten one. So
I would like to see Exum play more minutes than Tim. That's my hot take.
I agree.
I'm excited, man.
As long as that shot is falling.
I'm excited. I'm not even going to say that because he plays defense. And Tim's shot ain't always falling, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to X him over Tim for me.
I agree.
Six man. All right. I'm excited. I know you are. But if you want to get into this other stuff, we can get into the other stuff now.
Let's get into this other stuff.
This is weird.
So backwards.
So somebody messaged me, told me to talk about watching Attack on Titan with my fiance.
Okay.
Don't remember the last time I talked about it. She's been busy with school lately. But
you mentioned something last week, I think.
We got halfway through season three.
Okay.
And like I come home to South Carolina during the week, during half midway through the week, I'm gone for a few days. She watched 15 episodes without me.
Damn. She locked in.
She was like six episodes into season four. But she also said she got lost somewhere along the way, so we're going to go back. She said, like, she looked up. Everybody was older than they had previously been.
Oh, the time skip. Okay.
Yeah, she was very confused. So she was like, all right, we're going back. And she had some questions for me about some stuff that has occurred. So we got to go over that. She broke it down pretty well, though. She broke it down pretty well when she like gave me the rundown. She's had some minor questions in between and she wanted to go back and rewatch them. I want to rewatch them because I got to see the Levi fight against the Beast Titan. Beast
Titan, yeah.
I got to see that.
That's not much of a fight, but.
That's cinema.
Definitely not much of a fight.
What you been watching lately?
Nothing really. Just X-Men 97, which is fantastic right now. Let me think. Yeah, I haven't been watching any TV. I know Shogun is about to end, so I'm going to start watching that so I could just watch it right through. I wish I would have watched it weekly, but it is what it is.
Episodes are long. So
it is what it is. I wish I would have watched it weekly because I prefer that. I hate the binge thing, but it is what it is. I'll be locked in for next season. But yeah, I haven't really been watching anything as far as TV goes.
I did try to watch X-Men 97. I watched the first episode. I can't do it.
Why not?
I'm not feeling it. It didn't hit for me.
What were you expecting?
I don't know, but it didn't hit for me. Storyline was interesting, somewhat. I listened to a little bit of the Midnight Boys talking about it to try to see if I missed something. But I don't think it's for me. I might be with Charles with the animation. I don't know.
Did you watch the original?
When I was a child, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's been a long time. Like, there was some nostalgia for me. Gambit was my guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wasn't doing it for me. I may think the style might be too old school for me.
Yeah.
I did finish Invincible.
Okay.
I listened to the review the Midnight Boys did, and they were right about how I think. So I didn't read the comics. I'm not gonna pretend I read the comics. Mm-hmm. They introduce a lot of stuff and then never pay it off, or they introduce stuff and then it comes back around in like the randomest way ever.
They had too much going on this season.
Yeah, like I remembered Sterling K. Brown's character. But, like, why weren't we getting updates on where the hell he was during the season?
He was gone for, like, four episodes.
Him popping up like he did, it didn't have the effect that I think they wanted it to.
Yeah.
And for me to care about what happens and how it happens, you gotta make me invest in that character a little bit more.
I agree.
There's a character from the first season that I guess they're planning to bring back at some point. The lion dude,
Battle Beast, yes,
that washed everybody,
yes,
and got bored.
Yeah.
I would like to see what the hell he got going on. Where
He'll
he
be
at?
back. He'll be back.
I know that, but like they not giving me nothing, man. Yeah. Like it's
this, well, he, I mean, he didn't really fit in this season.
The Lizard League even introduced, disappeared. Then they come back with a vengeance. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, I forgot they existed. It's just a lot of...
I think that's the point. They're supposed to be losers. So, like, when they come out and start clapping, well, technically, nobody got fucking clapped, which bothers me so much.
Wait. Oh, yeah. I forgot they brought old girl back.
None of them died. Like, that bothered me so much.
Yeah, that was goofy. All right, never mind. Yeah, they. Why did they do that?
I have no idea.
Cause I forgot the duplicate came back.
Yeah, right at the end.
And they said they're shrinking. Like Ray pops out of dude's neck.
She's how alive, but her bones are like broken and shit.
How could she breathe in there? When they got clapped,
I guess I was she like, wasn't in there that long. So it's like, but still, like.
When she got clapped, when everybody I thought was clapped, I was like, oh, we cooking again.
I knew Rex wasn't going to die. But the
yeah,
mother
two, I just, was surprised when Rex took the bullet.
Them but other I was, two, I just knew they was done for.
I was cool with him coming back. Like, them actually dying in that situation would have had more weight to it than whatever the hell they ended up doing. I don't care about the mortal at all.
Do not.
He can go. He can retire. I don't care.
Or die again. Who cares?
Say what?
Or die again. Who cares?
Whatever he got to do, I he can go. I think, I don't know. I think they got to do the next season. They don't need the gap in the season next time.
Yeah, I don't think they plan on doing that again. That was a terrible idea.
I think most people probably would have rather waited than do it like that.
Next time. And I think they said the voice work is already done for season three. So let's get this on the move, man.
They can't be gone that long, and they can't do these 15,000 plot threads that pay off weirdly or don't ever pay off.
Yeah, as hell no.
It can't do it. Shogun is fire. I think I mentioned these last couple episodes have hit heavily, and I'm ready for the finale. I won't say too much more than that. The acting is fire. The sets are fire. It's funny, a show that I expected to have a ton of action, and it doesn't, and I don't give a damn because it's that good. There might be some action in this finale, but we'll see. We'll see. Let's get to the main thing we wanted to talk about cinematically.
Thank you.
Civil War.
Yes.
Thoughts? Feelings?
I went to see it yesterday. I said I would see it before we recorded again. I delivered. Went to see it in Dolby Digital, which was a fantastic fucking idea. Do you know what Dolby Digital is?
Nope.
It's like, it's not like IMAX, but it's like IMAX light, great sound, the picture is better, like your seat, you feel it in the vibration, the sounds all around you type of thing. With this type of movie, yeah, it. Let's just say I thought I was being shot at one point.
I was about to say, somebody, I can't remember who I was listening to, did a review or talked about seeing it and how loud the gunshots and stuff were.
Like, I can't remember which one it was, but one of the gunshots made me jump. Like, literally, like, whoa, what the fuck? But I was excited for this movie, especially since it's A24. I know it's going to be treated with a certain level of respect. The concept was interesting to me, and I went into it. I saw it. I had high expectations. Not too high, though. Went into it, saw it, came away. Was pleased and disappointed.
Okay.
Because I liked what I saw. but I feel like I didn't get everything I needed.
Like they left.
Or I didn't get everything the movie needed. The movie did not give me everything it needed to.
What did it not give you?
I was not aware going into this that this movie, we basically just be following the photojournalists, the war photojournalists and stuff. Okay. The actual war isn't really touched on. We don't know how this war starts. We don't know why it's going on. And granted, I understand why they shied away from this. They didn't want to make it too political and be right. Like, hey, pick this side, pick that side. Oh, this side is wrong. That side is wrong. It's right. Very neutral, and you can tell. And right. I'm okay with that. I did want some things touched on more. Okay. Why is this war going on? What happened? How long has this war been going on? Like, it looks like the fucking zombie apocalypse out there, if we're being honest. So those things, I think those things were important, to be quite honest. But outside of that, this movie was great. I don't know if I'm... Should I give a score already? Or?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they... It was clear to me that they were avoiding politics and having that be part of the discussion when they talked about, I guess, the main combatants being the Texas-California Alliance, because those two states hate each other.
Yeah, that would never happen.
Politics are concerned.
Yeah.
So the idea of them both joining together to rise against the states, I think for me, I wanted a little bit more context of how we got here.
My question is this. If the Western forces are California and Texas, and it's basically them against America, well, not necessarily, but the government, mm-hmm. because it seems like people from different places of America are on their side for the most part, or not. I don't know who's on what side for the most part.
So I think they put some places were neutral. So like the city where they stop and it looks normal still, but then they got the dudes on the rooftops with the guns.
Yeah.
They are like, hey, we staying out of it. Ain't our business.
Yeah.
And as long as nobody messing with us, we good. We hear about Florida uprising and trying to get the Carolinas to join them, and the Carolinas being like, nah. Okay. But, like, there's a lot of states in between California and Texas. So what happened with them? And how did they move across the country? Or, like, how did we get – when I say how we got here, I don't mean what started the war. I mean, how did they physically get there?
Where did California and Texas get all of this fucking military shit?
Took over the military bases was my assumption, but they don't explain.
Yeah, they don't explain any of that. Like, clearly, you didn't get this from the government. You're going against the government.
Who's organizing this? Who are the leaders?
How did you get these choppers, these tanks, these... How long has this been going on to where y'all have trained soldiers?
Right. Like, they're moving like the army.
Right. Is this the army? Did the army defect to the Western forces? What? I don't know. Right. None of this explains.
Is this a military coup?
None of it's explained.
Like, is this a military coup where the military rolls up? But if that's the case, then why are we having the states as the leaders? Whatever. I don't know.
It's very confusing.
Didn't make a lot of sense. Don't think it was meant to necessarily make sense. Besides that, you said you did like some things. What did you like?
The fucking war scenes in this,
okay,
are fantastic. That last one when they go to DC, I felt like I was in the middle of a fucking war.
Yeah,
like I was playing Battlefield or something. Like what? Like they put you in the shoes of the journalists.
Right.
Which means you're in the middle of the danger. The dialogue felt authentic. The movements and strategies felt authentic. Everything about it felt authentic. And it was nonstop from the minute they touched down and started shooting until the last scene.
Yeah.
The scene with Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
They literally hired this man for
I
that.
knew it. I know his evil ass was on some bullshit immediately.
Like, that scene was so tense. And spoilers for skip ahead 30 seconds. They added those two dudes in that movie just to kill those motherfuckers in that
Oh,
scene.
yeah.
As soon as I saw them and they met Jesse Plemons, I said, oh, they brought these guys in just to kill two people of insignificance.
Well, they were in the movie earlier.
Well, they were, but I'm saying they brought
They
them
brought them
back
back. Yeah.
just to kill them in that scene. And it still was effective
Yeah.
because while we didn't care, they cared. And it affected them because Joe and Lee knew them, and Jesse was just fucking terrified. And the scene where they're all plotting, like, we have to go down there and save them. We have to do something. And it's like, you see all those bodies they dump and do that. Are any of them in uniform? Like, no.
Right.
And you think it's just those bodies in that truck until they pan out and you see the ditch. And I just went, oh my God. Like, what's y'all purpose? What y'all doing? When he started ask, like, I'm not gonna lie, I'd have died. I'd have panicked. I'd have fucking panicked. I'd have died. I would have been the fucking dude that, oh my God, when he went over to, he was like, when he went like this and said, who's the dude in the back hiding? I said, oh no.
It
He
was
said,
like Daniel Kaluuya in Widows,
I didn't see that,
but
but I know the movie.
the scene with the cool kids.
I said, oh
He was
God.
that level of cold.
He said, where are you from? He said, do you speak English? When he said, okay, I need you to start speaking and make sure it's clear fucking English, I'm like, oh my God, he's about to kill himself. When he asked this motherfucker where he was from, and this fucking idiot said, Hong Kong. I said, why you ain't fucking lie?
About to say lie, dog. He
Like,
didn't
where do you
follow
currently live?
all
You don't live in Hong Kong, nigga. Where do you live? Say where you live in the United States of America. This dude is dressed in army fatigue with an assault rifle. And you tell him you're from Hong Kong? You might as well have put the gun to your head. Jesus Christ. That scene, once that happened and they just started pleading, I'm like, oh my God, how the fuck are they going to get out of this? And here comes Temu, James Earl Jones to the fucking rescue in the truck.
That was hilarious. We laughed.
And once they took him on the road, I said, oh, he ain't going to make it.
We laughed in the theater. Me and my fiance watched the movie together. And like when they first went over there, and he was like, God damn, y'all. What the hell? Like he was like, ah, shit. Like what? Like he turned into, she said he turned into a nigga for a moment.
He
Like
did.
he
He
was,
did.
that journalist shit went out the window. It was like these dumb white motherfuckers. Like, God, though.
Here's the thing.
Then he saved him, though. He did save him.
He did save him. I didn't notice until halfway through the movie that all of them were different types of journalists. Lee was a photographer, a photojournalist.
Right.
Jessie was the same, but she was younger.
Right.
The older guy was a writer, I believe.
I don't, I'm probably, but that's Pablo Escobar.
Yes. But he was trying to get the interview, right?
Right.
When he finally gets the interview, now I'm not a specialist on journalism or interviews, but you asking for a fucking quote. Shouldn't you be recording this quote? Because if
Right.
you was just gonna get the quote, you could have just fucking lied.
Right. That's what my fiance said. Like, why didn't he have like write it down or record it something? Like, you could just make anything up if that's what you were gonna do.
You're an awful journalist, nigga. You just out there because you
Can't
because
prove
he was getting a goddamn erection from the bullets flying. Not to mention he was hitting on that 23-year-old girl.
That's the only reason she was there. Because he was trying to GTD. That's bad.
I mean, she was all right looking, but
I
like,
mean, it was a little.
in that day and age, I feel like most people, y'all on the road, y'all ain't taking showers. Like, I know that thing cooking down there.
Ain't about to make no comment.
Shit do not smell good.
No comment.
Y'all traveling for like days. Don't let her be on the cycle, boy.
Sitting in the car,
Sitting in the car, just.
just marinating. Anyway, he probably he looked like the type ain't give a damn, but it
Yeah,
is what it is.
fake ass. What's the dude that was in The Last of Us? Shit, Mandalorian.
That's Pablo Escobar, man. You gotta just call him Pablo.
Okay, Pedro Pascal.
Talking about the dude, Pablo Escobar.
Did you know that Jesse Plemons
Narcos.
was married to Kirsten Dunst?
Yes.
I did not know that.
That's why I said, oh, that's why he's in this movie, because they married. They're like, we need a crazy nigga. There you go.
Who can we get to make this scene tense and look like a racist? We got it.
Who look like they're capable of anything? Oh yeah, this guy. Whatever we have him doing, he look like he could do
He looked like he can do it. Ever since he shot that kid on the side of that train heist in Breaking Bad, I
it.
said,
Friday Night Lights, he killed a man.
I didn't see Friday. I've never seen Friday Night Lights.
I'm saying that he been killing people randomly since the beginning of time. That's what he
When
do.
he shot that, when he shot Jesse's girlfriend on the porch. Oh my God.
Cold-blooded. Cold-blooded. Probably the nicest guy though in real life.
Probably the nicest guy in real life.
But yeah, I thought the movie had some good stuff in it. I think for me, the main thing that stuck was what we were seeing. So first of all, you mentioned the military equipment and stuff. Like, a lot of these terrorist groups have US military equipment.
Yeah.
Stuff that we abandoned, stuff that we sold to different countries and stuff. Like, they run around with US weapons.
I don't
So
know about choppers and tanks, though.
you'd be surprised.
Touche.
The idea of enemy combatants having our equipment, having our gear, having our uniforms on our soil made it different. The idea of how would different places react? How would people react to a situation like this? And seeing how it plays out, watching them move across the states and not know what was going to happen. It was funny, the scene where they go to the gas station. And two things about this scene stuck out. One was the guy having the people tied up and was like, yeah, I went to high school with that dude. He ain't never talked to me. But now, like, the world has gone to shit. He's got the power, getting his revenge, basically, on a dude that was probably popular and cool, and he was probably a lame. And now he got a gun, so he can mess with him. Other part of that scene was when they tried to buy the gas. She said $300, and he was like, "Yeah, that'll get you a sandwich." And then she was like, "300 Canadian." And he was like, "Oh shit, I guess that'll work then."
Can go up north, I guess, you know.
So the Canadian money, because the America's falling apart here,
Yeah.
our money ain't worth a damn. Interesting scene there. The idea of her, so we get the montage of her past photo work and her watching people burn, her watching people die, essentially. The scene with the terrorist attack, and people are like, some people are helping, et cetera, so forth, but she's just out there taking pictures of people dying, basically,
Yeah.
like it's nothing. And there's the shot of the girl, I think you said her name was Jessie, taking a picture of her taking those pictures. And I was like, that's the photo. So if you go from that, juxtapose that with the final shot, I won't say what it is. I don't feel sorry for her in that moment.
I don't either, especially considering what she told Jesse when they were taking a picture of that helicopter, chopper. And she said, you know, it's my choice. And she said, I'll remember that when you are. Now, granted,
man,
I like that they showed and didn't tell that Kirsten Dunst's character Lee has been through shit. Like, she's seen some shit. It's changed her.
Right.
She's hardened. You know, there wasn't like a conversation saying, yeah, I've seen this. They just showed it. And you can all, and before that montage, you can tell from when that bomb goes off and she immediately just like it's nothing.
Right.
Which was crazy because in the DC scene, she's freaking the fuck out.
I think there's two parts of that. One, like you said, she is freaking out, which it's almost like she woke back up somehow.
And it's also like a flip too, because Jesse wasn't. Jesse was like,
Jesse was acting crazy.
Jesse was pissing me off, to be honest.
Jesse was Jake Gyllenhaal and Nightcrawler.
Never seen it, but but
if you haven't seen it, Jake Gyllenhaal is Jesse in that movie, essentially.
Okay.
Gets colder and colder as it goes along, and then eventually start putting people in danger.
Yeah, I was about to say, she was just pissing me off. I'm like, get the fuck back. Like, what are you doing? Like, stop being an idiot. I'm like, please shoot her. Like,
I thought for sure she was going to die.
I didn't.
Because she was pissing me off, too. She was being way too reckless. Or, like, I thought one of the soldiers that they were with was going to, like, hit her in the head with a gun or something. Like, get the hell out of the way.
I wish they would have, honestly. Why we just get quiet?
I got a text. I didn't know if you heard that or not.
No, I ain't hear it.
Overall, I think it's an interesting character study. Like you said, all the journalists were different. They had different goals. They came from different backgrounds. They had different feelings about what was going on. They approached everything differently. We got to see what was happening from four different points of view. I don't know what I would rate it at this point yet. I'm still marinating on it.
Sitting at like an 8 or 7.
I'm not that high.
Damn. Let's put it like this. If we were going by Double Toasted rankings, it would be like a high matinee, low full price.
Gotcha.
So you're below a 7 right now.
I'm at like a 2.5, 3 out of 5.
Damn.
Like, I liked it.
Okay.
But, like, I can't recommend that movie to people.
Really?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't think it's going to reach a general audience. It's not, the entertainment value of it isn't there.
Do you think it's the lack of action?
Lack of action, lack of story, in a sense that it's a movie about a war, but it's not. I think the misleadingness, like some people probably will feel misled.
Yeah.
By the title. I don't know. I feel like, and it's bloody, it's raw. Very raw. And yeah. I think that's effective for me. It's effective. I think it's an artistic movie.
Yeah, it is.
And for artistic movies, it's not always going to reach a general audience.
Also, don't think it like really.
The message isn't obvious.
Yeah, the message isn't obvious at all. It doesn't pick up till that Jesse Plemons scene, to be honest. Like, really cranks it up. And then from there, it's just almost nonstop. But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I enjoyed it. Like I said, it's just a matter of, I don't think I need to watch it again necessarily.
I will watch it again
personally. I would, but I don't think I need to.
No. It's not like I missed anything.
I didn't miss anything, right. I don't feel like I missed anything. I think I got it. I don't think I'm going to see anything different. I know what I'm looking for now, so it might be a different ride. Because I went in blind. That's what I did. That's what I do. I had no idea what I was walking into.
Okay.
So I went in blind, and I came out like, huh, okay, cool. That's where I'm at with it.
I would recommend it, but I would caution people I would get.
Okay. I haven't done any ratings for movies this year. I haven't caught up on my ratings from last year. Like, I got so much work to do. We're probably not going to do the movie podcast till at least July after the move.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do have some ideas for what I want to do there, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
Any other thoughts before we close this out?
Absolutely not, man. I'm ready for the playoffs. Let's get it.
All right. Let's take a quick break. I said quick break. Let me end this damn podcast. All right, folks. Until next time. Till next time, folks. Peace.
Peace.